Tech Talk with Lee Stark.
It's time for Tech Talk. Hi, Lee. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
I'm okay, mate. Yourself?
Good, thanks, mate. A faster NBN speeds could be coming for free. There's no such thing as a free lunch, and yet there actually might be a free upgrade to your home's NBN in the coming months. Tell us more about this.
So this is a kind of a plan from the NBN Co. They've really identified that people need faster internet connections. It's kind of like an obvious sort of comment, but they'd like to actually make their fast connections available for free to the telcos and the ISPs that we actually use, and that would mean they wouldn't actually have to off-sell or charge a higher cost for us when they come out. So basically the idea is that if you're subscribed right now to the 100 megabits plan, which is seen as a fast plan for a lot of people, with sometime within the next 12 months, hopefully you'll be upgraded free to a 500 megabits plan that increases your speed dramatically. And if you're on one of the faster speeds, ideally you'd get an even faster plan coming along. The key is this is probably at least 12 months away because NBN Co. has to work it out with the telcos and the other operators to find out whether this is actually something they want to offer. But honestly, it sounds like a really good deal for Australia.
But, and there's always a but when something like this comes up, but what if you can't simply get the higher speeds? I'll give you an example. I had an NBN service at a place I own, and it was 50 megabits per second. And I rang and said I'd like a faster service, and they said, yep, it'll be X amount of dollars, and we'll give you 100 megabits per second. I said, thank you very much, away we go. It took months and months and months of frustration when the company all of a sudden realised they couldn't deliver that speed in the first place. Why they offered it to me, I have no idea. So the company just simply couldn't, and it's one of the main operators. The company just simply could not deliver to me the 100 megabits per second where I live.
It's a problem with the type of networks that we use. There are three or four different types of networks that are on offer for Australians. And this thing that we're talking about, the faster NBN speeds, it is actually limited by some of the things you're talking about. It will only come to people who have fiber to the premises, FTTP, or HFC. That's the old cable lines. If you have fiber to the node or you use satellite, you won't necessarily be counted for this. But from what I've heard from NBN Co., there's a lot of push also to try and upgrade fiber to the node to fiber to the premises and things like that. So hopefully, again, in the next 12 months, that sort of upgrade will be even more possible. But you're right, NBN Co. does need to actually work with the telcos and the ISPs a lot more to make those hardwired connections more readily available.
Donna says, I am looking at changing my internet as I am having speed issues. I live by myself and do not use the internet much, but when I do, I like to have high speed with no lag or dropout. Donna says, what options do I have that will stop me having to pay the same as a family of five?
It really depends on where you live, to be completely honest. It's pretty much as you said before, mate, that the connection you have, the hardwired connection that you have, really determines what's actually on offer to you. Best thing you can actually do is actually go to NBN Lookup and find out the physical connection you have. It'll tell you actually on your address what you actually have. That will determine what you can actually get. We do find that HFC and fiber to the premises tend to get the faster speeds, but then it's a matter of simply looking at the connections on offer from the companies. And believe it or not, that's not as cut and dry as it should be. You're typically looking at, I guess, the peak times, the peak speeds rather, for connection. So if you're looking for 100 megabit, and that's what I use to service a family of four, granted two of them are very young, so they don't use the internet as much, but typically 100 megabits will serve a family of four quite well, and that can range between 90 and 100 megabits a second. 100's roughly what you should be getting, but it's not always exact. So make sure to check with the ISP or the telco that you're looking at in the first place.
What about 5G? For people that live in areas where you can get 5G, I'll give you an example again using myself. I have a unit and I can get 100 megabits per second speed. And if I do a speed test, it comes back roughly that. However, if I put it to 5G, which is just available in the area, the other day, it blew everyone that was working on the place away. I got 600 megabits per second from 5G, for goodness sake.
Yeah, so 5G is a great option if you have it. But one of the things worth noting is that the speed isn't consistent. So you could do a speed test on it. Speed tests are really cool, and we use them obviously in benchmarking both phones and performance of the network. But it's not a persistent speed. You're almost always going to fluctuate between 5G. Is typically, you're going to fluctuate between 100 megabit and anywhere between 1.2 gigabit. You can actually hit pretty high speeds on 5G depending on the technology around you. But it's usually not persistent. It won't be probably for a while in Australia. And there are some 5G devices that actually don't even hit 300 megabits. Again, it depends on your connection. So a perfect example of this is that if you can find many of the 5G bandwidth limited plans, which are actually available for less expensive prices, they will cap your speed at 250, but your range is typically closer to 70 to 250. So 5G is a great option, provided you can pay for it and the connection remains consistent.
Andrew says, I've been hearing a lot about new phones that are a mix between iPhone and Android. What are the benefits of these phones?
A mix between iPhone and Android. So I think probably what he's referring to are Android devices that kind of look like an iPhone. There are a few of these. Oppo is usually the biggest purveyor of them. Most Android phones and most iOS phones, most devices in general, tend to look pretty much the same. They offer the same sort of features. There's no phone that offers a mix between both operating systems simply because Apple would never allow it. And I don't think Google would either.
Yeah.
But you can get Android devices that look a lot like an iPhone. As I said, an Oppo device will get you there halfway, and some of the Samsung devices get mighty close. If you don't like the cost of an iPhone, definitely check these out. But keep in mind, they do run Android. They don't go to the Apple App Store. They go to the Google version of it.
A new type of battery created in Australia could be much more recyclable and won't catch fire thanks to them being built with water and metal. You say right now they're small, but it's a fascinating development.
Yeah, it's really cool. It comes out of RMIT in Melbourne. And the idea is that instead of having a lithium-ion battery, which is quite pretty much what we rely on these days, or even nickel metal in some devices as well, these devices or these batteries will end up using a combination of water, and I think it's a combination between zinc and aluminium. I'm not entirely sure off the top of my head. But basically, they're called an aqueous battery. And the idea, again, is that they will still hold as much power, but when we go to recycle them or we go to store them, there's no risk of them catching fire exploding, which is really important. Right now, the batteries are super small. We're talking the batteries usually used for remote controls, for cameras, CR2032 style batteries, so flat batteries. But they are being worked on to actually be involved in more devices, and it seems like the sort of thing sometime in the next decade we'll actually have safer batteries that were originated in Australia.
If you're looking at buying an electric bike, I mean, you keep reading all these stories, scooters, batteries burning down homes or starting fires, all those sort of things. Any advice? I mean, if you're in the market, you think, I want to go and buy one of these scooters, what do you ask for to make sure that it doesn't start a fire?
I mean, there's not a lot you can do to ask whether the battery is not going to start a fire. We've seen the same thing with phones. Certainly, brand name phones and even brand name electric cars have all seen these sorts of things happen. The best thing you can do is stick with brands that you know, research them thoroughly if you can, and ask the question whether the actual electric circuits and the batteries themselves have been tested. There are a lot of devices coming on the market, but they're not all checked the same way. We've certainly seen with large companies, when these sorts of incidents happen, they step up their battery testing to a ridiculous amount. When Samsung was involved with a massive battery explosion around the Galaxy Note 7, this was years ago, they stepped up their battery testing dramatically. So check with the company, look on their webpage, see if you can find evidence of battery testing, circuit testing, electricity testing. If those pages exist, they take it seriously.
Okay, Lee, time's up. We've got to go back to the newsroom. No. Thanks, mate. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Have a good one, mate.
Bye-bye. That's Lee Stark, and as we say, if you've got any questions for Lee, why don't you send them to us? You can do so via email. You can go to the 2SM website or send them here to us at the brett@2hd.com.au. And Lee's got a terrific website. You can send them directly to Lee if you like. All you've got to do is just put Lee Stark, L-E-I-G-H, Lee Stark, into Google, and up will come his website, and you can send questions directly to him, all right, and he will answer them for you. He's a good man.